Okay, take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Chapter 15. Since the election, I've had a terrible time watching the news. But every time I do, I hear a word. And I don't know if we're being programmed or if that word is something that is timely for this time, but I hear the word uncertainty. Everything is based on, in the media right now, about the uncertainty of the fiscal cliff, the uncertainty of what happened in Newtown, the uncertainty of that massacre that killed all the children and the teachers. But I want to tell you something. God has never been uncertain, and there's no uncertainty with Him. God hasn't lost control. The Bible says He upholds everything by the word of His power. The only way you can be defeated is if you begin to try to figure out how to handle everything instead of just saying, God, lead me. Holy Spirit, take my life. When you're going to sit down, and I'm not saying don't analyze your finances. The Bible says, you know, if you're going to go to war, you count the cost. If you're going to build something, you count the cost. There are things like that that we do. But if you are coming to a place where you're going to micromanage your life and you're going to figure out everything and put everything together, you're going to be defeated. And so when God tells you to do something or go somewhere or build something or something else, go ahead and do it. Amen. Because this nation right now is on a basis of hysteria. And so we come to a very interesting time in the church life about, is this a time we're going to quit trusting God after trusting God for 40 or 50 years? Is this a time we're going to take things into our own hands and make things happen? At least we think we'll make things happen. Or is this a time that we're going to rest? And that doesn't mean being idle. Rest is a trust. Rest is the basis of coming to a place where you put absolute faith in God. And what's going to happen is going to be worked of the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. And so we need to take a look at things. And as I begin to put this together and begin to think about it, all of a sudden the Lord, and we're going to get to 1 Corinthians 15 in just a moment. I know you're there. But the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, that God is speaking from heaven one more time. And He says, I once shook the earth. And now I'm not only going to shake the earth, but I'm going to shake the heavens. And basically He's saying this, everything that can be shaken except the kingdom of God, which cannot be shaken, will be shaken. Now you can interpret that however you want to. But God is going to rule the nations. The Bible says in Revelation that the kingdom of this world has now become the kingdoms of our God. How's that going to happen? There's going to be some shakings. But don't let the media produce fear and anxiety and frustration and anger and all those things in your life, because whether they know it or not, they're not in charge. And the media has forgotten how to report the news. They now make the news. And so we understand, and if you're a child of God, and if you're in the Word of God, you understand that things are going to change. And not all change is going to be for the worse. There's some good change coming. And so don't just jump in your hole and cover up your head and wait for the end of the world. Oh, by the way, we are here, aren't we? What happened? Somebody, we missed the end of the world. Okay, how do I get through 2013? Maybe how do I get to 2013? Verse number 57 and 58 of 1 Corinthians 15. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to do something this morning. It's been kind of a different service. It's okay. It's a good service. I'm proud of you folks. Really proud of you. Just say this with me now. Thanks be to God, who gives me the victory through my Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you may go your whole life looking for victory. You may walk around all over this world looking for victory, not realizing that you are a victor in Christ. We're there. Look at me. There's absolutely nothing God has to do to make you a victor. He's already done it. If you're looking at the circumstances and if you're looking at that, that has nothing to do with you being a victor. You are a victor. Every once in a while, you have to step over the circumstances to keep your heart in that place where you're recognizing the victory. But those circumstances do not mean that you lost the victory. That something overcame you. I see that sunk in real well. What do I do for an encore? But it's true. David had to go through Goliath. Daniel had to go through a lion's den. The children of Israel had to go through a fire. Elijah had to go through a queen who was going to kill him. You understand? I don't believe you're going to find many people in the Bible that had just their life of ease. They all went through something. John was exiled on the Isle of Patmos. You can go through things after things after things after things after thing. I want to tell you something else. Your circumstances doesn't tell anything about your character. Doesn't tell anything about your spiritual barometer. How do I know that? I was training for the ministry. Judy and I had been married, 6 months? When my mom and dad were killed. Did that mean I was out of God's will? You can't go by that. And people may come to you at times and say, boy, you must have really done something bad to have this happen. No, maybe I did something good. So don't be drugged down by people looking at your circumstances and saying, well, you're just a bad parent, or you're just this, or you're just something else, and you didn't do things right. God doesn't work that way. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory. You know, somebody says if you're going to base a doctrine, base it on 2 or 3 scriptures. Well, how about 2 Corinthians chapter 2? God always leads us in triumph. God always, say always with me, always. He always leads us to triumph. I want you to understand something. No matter what decisions you've made, whether they're bad or good, no matter what choices you've made at times, if they're bad or good, God has not devised your defeat. We okay with that? We need to understand that in 2013. God is not planning my defeat. God's not planning my failure. And there are times failure happens, but it doesn't say anything because we're going through a time when we're making decisions. Sometimes we make a wrong decision. Do you realize that Abraham Lincoln never won an election until he was elected president? You realize that? He was defeated over and over and over and over again. If you're my age, you'll remember a man by the name of Adlai Stevenson who ran for president and ran for president and never made it. God leads us in victory. And you know something? Very often, we don't even see the victory he's bringing us through. We don't even see it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The victory is always there. It's not something you take a hold of all the time. It's something that you're going through. And step after step after step after step after step, you are overcoming something, someone, some demon. And in 2013, you're going to be stronger and mightier and more powerful than ever before. How many remember King David and the cave at Adullam? Do you know what his army was? All those who had mental illness, all those who were in debt, and all those who had issues. And two or three of his guys broke through and got him water. These misfits, they risked their life for their leader. And they got him the water. And what did he do with it? What did he do with it, Ange? Poured it out as an offering to the Lord. Do you ever feel like a misfit? Do you ever feel like you don't belong? Who told you that? Whoever told you? What voice are we listening to? Well, I don't fit in. Who told you that? God says you do fit. I was going to preach on the body of Christ, and maybe I am yet. Anybody ever know what gout is? Anybody ever know what gout is? Used to be pretty popular in the old days. I had gout in my big toe a while back. You don't think that toe was important to me? Just one toe. They say if you cut off your big toe, you lose your balance. That's how God designed the body. So why would you look at this church or any other place and say, I don't fit in? Who told you that? Are you breathing? Does your heart beat? Are your eyes open? Then you fit. Even with closed eyes. Even Matthew fits, don't you, Matthew? It's kind of interesting because there are times I think I don't fit. Now he says this. How many of you are victors? Can't see your hands. How many are victors? Okay. How many are you going to act like it this week? Then he says something that I don't hear preached on a lot, but I was in there working on my message on the body, and then this started coming yesterday afternoon, and so I just started working on this. Therefore, my beloved brethren, and for you ladies and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because you know your labor is not in vain. Now look at me. That in vain is vital, and if I don't get to it, I want to get to it now. It means that your labors are not wasted. You've been sowing the gospel into somebody's heart. You've been painstakingly working with someone to get them to follow the Lord. You've been witnessing to somebody you work with, or you've been talking to a neighbor, or you're talking to a friend, or you're talking to your family, and they don't listen. And sometimes you throw up your hands and say it's worthless. No, it's not. It's not in vain. You may not see what you want to see, but God is working in that heart. So don't quit. If they tell you to sit down and shut up, do it. You know, I told you the story. I was at my brother's house and I started talking about Jesus. He said, well, we don't talk about that here. And I said, okay. I'm not at my house. If he was at my house, I would say we do talk about that here. I was in his house. So don't come with, I'm so burdened and I'm so heavy and I'm so weighed down and I got all these issues because my family don't listen to me. You're carrying a burden that's not yours to carry. That's God's burden. My yoke is easy and my burden is what? Is what?
Light.
Can't hear you. Is what?
Light.
So why do you get weighed down? Amen. There are burdens you carry and there are burdens you shed. You don't carry. You give them to God. Because he's the only one that can carry it. We okay? I'm serious. Why do we take something so serious we're not going to survive? You look at me. You're not going to survive this life if Jesus tarries. We're going to be with the Lord. So don't take your life so serious that you're weighed down and burdened and it's killing you. You'll die soon enough. It'll happen. Be steadfast, immovable. I'm going to tell you what immovable means. Here's what immovable means. You can take any of these words you want. Immovable means rock solid, fixed, grounded, established, rooted, anchored, stable, and enduring. If you would look up the Greek word for immovable, that's what it means. It means that you are grounded, you're rock solid, you're established, you're rooted, you've anchored in Christ Jesus. The house on the rock did what? The house on the ground, on the sand did what? Fall. When we are grounded and rooted and built up and established in Christ, the winds don't matter. They may make life a little bit uncomfortable, but they're not going to blow you over. Dig deep. Dig deep. Because what you're doing for the kingdom of God is going to bear fruit. I love that amen. Missed a good time to say praise the Lord. It's going to bear fruit. You may say, well, my kids aren't serving the Lord. They're not dead yet. Sometimes you have to have that philosophy. My family's not with God. This thing is happening. It's not over yet. And so you hang on, and you praise God, and you live your life, and you walk it out, and you're steadfast, you're immovable, you're full of joy and love and peace, and you're expressing that as you go out. And I'm going to tell you something, we're coming to a time when people are going to be looking for someone with a smile.
That's right.
That's all they need is a smile. You think, well, I don't have an answer, smile at them. I was just in another country called Texas. And you know something? I think at one time I walked through Walmart and I was the only white guy there. And I thought, whoa, I don't even understand what these people are saying. But you know something? I was still a majority. Because I had Christ in me. And there are times when you're living this life, you're going to have to say, they're in front of me, they're behind me, they're on my left hand, they're on my right hand. Praise God, I win, I got them surrounded. There are times you just have to relax and say, God, how are we going to handle this? How are we going to do it? Be steadfast, grounded, rooted, established. Do you think for a moment, and I know, Paul's kind of my biblical hero next to Jesus, that Paul went to sleep frustrated because somebody said something about it? Huh? Do you think, I can't believe they think that of me. Hello? I would almost dare to say 100% that he would have traded the words for the rods and the stones and the imprisonments. Be steadfast. Be immovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Okay. I got three things I want to give you, maybe four. And I'll just five, and I'm going to read them because I wrote them down and I don't want to miss them. Number one. Say number one. Keep me in, and then when we get to two, you say two, okay? I just want to know where I am. It's been a tough week. Number one, walk in love. Seems kind of natural. I'm not done yet. I knew you people would do that. I got a right to pause and catch my breath. Heads turning blue and unaffected, walk in love, unaffected by unforgiveness, bitterness, anger, and hate that's in the world. Walk in love. Love overcomes a multitude of sins, the Bible says. Walk in that love. Okay. Walk in righteousness. You may say, what are you talking about? Righteousness is just being right. The past is gone. Live today in Him. Avoid the lusts and passions of the flesh, the Bible tells us. Give no place to the devil. Don't listen to him. Don't let him lead you. You're led by the Spirit of God. You're overcoming the devil. And this is a victory that overcomes the world, even your faith. Now, how many of you have faith? Every one of you. The Bible says in Romans 12:3 that God has given to everyone a measure of faith. You have faith. Not just so we can stand up here and say, I have faith. James says that faith without a corresponding action is what? It's dead. Just walk it out. Okay? Walk in peace. Love, joy, peace, fruit of the Spirit, along with six other ones. Walk in peace. Peace in the Greek is a tranquility of spirit and mind that nothing can disturb. Nothing. At times I'm not good at that. Anybody know what I'm talking about? If you're like me, at times you have more month than money. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Some of you don't. Good. Will you talk to me after church? Peace is unaffected by the circumstances and pressures of life. Sick kids? Anybody ever had them? Do you ever worry, get stressed out, fearful? I'm not picking on you. Now, the U.S. had a motto. The Army did. You can sleep tonight because we're awake. Can I tell you something? You can sleep at night because God's awake. God's awake. Now, with a puppy, that's a different thing. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. We live this life, and it's possible to live this life with no anxiety and no fear. And no frustration. Now, men, you may think I'm nuts, but you can. Anxiety doesn't make things happen. Worry doesn't make things happen. Fear doesn't make things happen. It just makes you sick. Amen? No, if fear would change things, if anxiety would change things, if worry would change things, God would put in here, don't pray, just worry and fear. It's going to change. Love you, Tony. But it's true. Got one more. What's that?
Four.
Number four. Walk in joy. Do you know what the word joy comes from? the same word that we get grace from. Joy and grace are together. Now, there is a difference between joy and happiness. But joy is a state of being where you're living in that grace of God. Happiness usually comes because of circumstances, good circumstances. How long did it take them to change? I believe God wants you happy. I used to say I didn't, but I do. Because if I say I don't, and you'll be mad at me.
Amen.
Joy. In grace is joy. And you need that foundation of grace, which springs up into joy, to make your life complete. And again, joy is not moved by circumstances. They're not a fleeting moment, and it's gone. Whatever you're going through, because the Holy Spirit is within you, and the fruit of the Spirit is what? Is what? Can't hear you. Love, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, kindness. Come on. Joy. Let's just kind of rehearse for a moment. You are a victor. You are an overcomer. And you're grounded. You're not moved by the winds. You're grounded. You're staying here the rest of the day. You're rock solid. You're strong. You're powerful. You're mighty warriors. And you're full of love, righteousness, peace, and joy. How can you lose? How can you lose? You can't. The only way you come close to losing is quitting. You've got to remember, when God calls his people, he equips them. And he equips you as warriors because you're overcomers. And he equips you as warriors because, whether we want to admit it or not, there's a battle out there. There's a battle out there for the souls of people. And God knew that you can handle it through him.